Today is affectionately known as Good Shepherd Sunday, a title that sparks the imagination in a way that the fourth Sunday of Easter might not be able to do. I mean, I don't understand why just counting Sundays off doesn't spark artistic minds, but I guess it doesn't. On this Sunday every year, the gospel passage draws our attention to the image of Jesus as our good shepherd. Though, and here is your fun fact for the day, in our three-year lectionary cycle, this year, year B, is the only year we actually hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd." This Sunday calls to my mind a variety of images and stories I heard growing up in church. My mind drifts to those soft and sweet images of a storybook shepherd walking through a lush field, tending those cuddly, cloud-like sheep roaming the hillsides on a quiet, sunny afternoon. You know, the sheep that just look like squishy and you want to squeeze them and give them a hug. Without any effort, as I think about Jesus, our good shepherd, I'm transported back to my time visiting the Irish and Scottish countrysides where I saw nothing but sheep for miles. And my friends, I got to tell you, in case you were wondering, sheep are, how do I put this, not the most gracious audience for a bunch of high school students playing Danny Boy to fulfill their conductor's long dream of playing Danny Boy for a bunch of sheep on the Irish hillsides. So I wonder if you have any of these or similar images in mind as you hear of our good shepherd this morning. When we imagine this day in such a fashion, placing our passage in the context of our reminiscing, we might be led to believe that as long as we follow Jesus, we can enjoy a lovely afternoon, eat our fill, and not worry about any of the cares and occupations of this life. You know, enjoy a nice afternoon, like I think that's called the sun in the sky. I'm unfamiliar lately with what that bright thing is, but you know, have sunny days, munch on some grass, frolic with our friends. It sounds really quite nice. But, there's always a but. But as these images make for wonderful cartoons and storybooks, I'm sorry to say that I do not think that is really what this day is all about. The scripture readings appointed for this morning contain a call to action, a declaration of our identity, a reminder of the life of discipleship, and a warning about what lies ahead if we actually take these words seriously. The life of a shepherd was anything but picturesque. It was dangerous, risky, marginal, outcast work. The nicest way I can put it is that shepherds were rough around the edges and unwelcome in polite society. For Jesus to identify himself as a shepherd was a scandalous thing to claim, an affront to the establishment of the day. It would be like saying now, "I am the good undocumented migrant worker." Now, John's audience understands all this. They know exactly what a shepherd is and what everybody thought and believed about them. They understood immediately that Jesus was aligning himself with dangerous work carried out by those seen as outcasts at best and relegated to subhuman standards at worst. As we think about the fullness of Jesus' earthly life and ministry, this is exactly how we should describe him. Jesus hung out on the margins, associated with people that could do nothing for him, befriended those ignored by society, all while breaking countless social mores along the way. Jesus' ministry, like the work of the shepherd, is dangerous. It's risky, marginal, outcast kind of work. I mean, how many times we hear in Scripture the establishment, the authorities going, "Jesus is hanging out with those people over there?" Now, over the last few weeks, since Easter Day, we have lingered with the disciples locked away in the upper room, We've witnessed them gripped with fear. We've watched as their terror turned to joy when gazing upon the wounds and scars of Jesus' resurrected body. We heard Jesus open the words of Scripture to them and shared in the commissioning of as being witnesses to all that has been seen. We are called to unite our ministries with that of the disciples, with the adventures and amazing deeds recounted in the Acts of the Apostles. We're called to claim our identity as followers of Jesus, to make incarnate this dangerous, risky, marginal, outcast work in this time and place, embodying God's love in whatever vocation has been placed on our hearts. The Good Shepherd seeks out the lost, those in need of rescue, those who are forgotten, those in need of restoration and healing. So we must ask ourselves if we are willing to step beyond whatever comforts we have grown accustomed to, that we may go and do likewise. Building on Jesus' articulation of his identity as the Good Shepherd, we are offered a glimpse of the larger implications of the good news of God as told by John the Evangelist. Our epistle today comes from the first letter of John, and it is likely that this letter was written after the Gospel of John by the same author for a community that knew and loved the Gospel. In many ways, this letter reads like an elaboration of the Gospel for those who desire to understand its significance for a new time and circumstance. It's kind of like a remake of an old classic movie when they kind of make it more modernized, or like when Trinity Rep takes the Christmas Carol but puts it set in this century. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like the modern adaptations. That's kind of like what the first letter of John is doing. Take, for example, the penultimate verse we hear today. And here's how John's first letter is picking up on the Gospel of John. In that penultimate verse today, we hear, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." This verse is a stunningly succinct summary of the two greatest themes in John's gospel, that we should believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and that we should love one another as he loved us. This is like the gospel in Twitter form, you know, 120 characters or less. This is what we are witnesses to. This is what discipleship is all about, believing in the power of the name of Jesus, and through the power of that name, loving each and every person as the beloved child of God that they are. It is about bringing that love to the world and witnessing to the life-giving, liberating power of God. I mean, our lesson from Acts this morning, it's that continuation of Peter's sermon. Those things we've seen, that sermon which follows Peter saying to the man who's never walked a day in his life, "I have neither gold or silver, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." We, like Peter, are called to proclaim that love, that name, in the same way. Now, if we needed any further reminder so soon after Holy Week, today's readings make it abundantly clear that the foundation for that greatest commandment to love rests in Jesus' own decision to love even unto death. This is the very crux of our call as disciples. It is this radical love that empowers that dangerous, risky, marginal, outcast way of life every follower of Jesus is called to. Love so strong that we are willing to lay down our lives for our neighbors, just as Jesus laid down his life for us. And yes, I'm talking about those neighbors who you don't particularly like and who wake you up at night when they play loud noise. Yep, when they make loud noise and play loud music late on Saturday night when you're trying to go to sleep because Sunday morning comes real early. Not that I'm bitter, party of one. Now, my friends, here in 2024 in Greenville, Rhode Island, it is rather unlikely that any of us will be called to literally lay down our lives, becoming martyrs for the faith. There are martyrs in all sorts of parts of the world, but I'm pretty sure our calendar of saints is not getting the martyrs of Greenville, Rhode Island anytime soon. Though we do take our lives in our hands driving through this intersection, that's another story. Since it is unlikely we are going to be called to martyrdom, we must discern what it means for us to lay down our lives. So I wonder what it means for you to give up your life out of love. When we risk our own personal image, when we risk our power and privilege to stand in solidarity with those who suffer from hatred, violence, injustice, and oppression, we lay down our lives. When we stand in solidarity with those being crushed and killed by the sin of white supremacy, we lay down our lives. When we stand against anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim violence and scapegoating, we lay down our lives. When we stand up for those being gunned down in our streets and our houses of worship and our places of employment and entertainment, we lay down our lives. When we make sacrifices to protect the goodness of creation, we lay down our lives. When we prioritize the collective good over so-called individual freedoms, when we give up the completely normal and understandable human impulse to live for ourselves alone and allow God to reorient our desires towards the way of God, we lay down our lives. When we give to others, sharing what we have with those who go without, we lay down our lives. Each and every day, in ways great and small, in our actions and decisions, we have the opportunity to claim our high calling, to give of ourselves, to let go of old ways so that new life might emerge. In other words, each and every day, we have the opportunity to live into our baptismal vows. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and that makes us his sheep. On this Sunday, we are invited to reflect on the question, who is it that we follow? Do we follow the shepherd of power, greed, and consumerism, or do we follow the shepherd of compassion and humble, loving service? And I think if we were truly honest with ourselves, our answer would be yes. Our answer would be both ends. The gift offered to us, the amazing thing about God's grace, is that no matter how we answer that question, no matter how far we've been scattered by that wolf which comes by night and by day, God always comes searching for us. God always calls out to us. For God is not some hired hand that goes running at the first sign of trouble. God is the shepherd of our souls who will never leave us comfortless or abandon us to the powers of the grave. We are never truly lost with God. God always comes. As we emerge into the new life offered in the resurrection, we have the opportunity to once more open our hearts and lives to the transformative power of God's love, to be a community empowered to witness to the love and grace of God in our midst, to make incarnate that which we have witnessed in this broken and hurting world. Beloved of God, always remember that through all the length of days, God's goodness faileth never. May we always sing God's praise as we follow wherever our Good Shepherd leads.